after. So I want to wait till 11:05.
Okay.
A 5-minute grace period. I think that everybody's present. Jennifer, can you see or hear us? Dr. Ostrom? Yes. Okay. So I'd like to call the meeting of the School Psychologist Licensure Exemption Committee to order. And do we need a roll call, Ms. Peckman?
Yes, Madam Chair, I can do the roll call. Dr. Catarino?
Here.
Dr. Bohan?
Here.
Dr. DiBacco?
Here.
Dr. Malat?
Yeah.
Dr. Ostrom, I think she's good.
Here.
Very good. Dr. Robbins?
Here.
And Dr. Yoon?
I did not see her.
Not present, but you have quorum.
Okay. So I think we need to look at the minutes. Has everyone been able to see the minutes from last time? Any questions on that? No questions? And do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
And second?
Second.
Okay. Do we take a vote? Do I hear ayes and nays? Everyone in favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
Anyone opposed to approving the minutes? Okay, the minutes are approved. But I thought, if Heidi or Jean, have you been able to look over what I sent? I know it was just last minute. May I bring up some of these points at this time?
I believe they relate to the substantive policy statement can be discussed.
Okay, so, last time we've been trying to form a substantive policy statement. And when we talk about that, what we have in the ARS 32-2075 is that school psychologists employed in a common school, high school, or charter school setting and certified to use that title by the Department of Education are certified to use that title if the services or activities are part of the duties of that person's common school, high school, or charter school employment. Now, we came to, I think, some consensus on one point that, I'm not sure though, maybe not 100% consensus, that with respect to the term employed, this can be someone that's employed directly through a district, that's working for a private agency that contracts with the schools, or even a school psychologist independently contracting with one or more common schools, high schools, or charter schools. So do we have a consensus that we agree? I'm not sure, John, if you agreed to that idea that would cover employment or not.
And Madam Chair, if I could, just to interject really quickly. So Dr. Catarino is summarizing some of some information that she prepared relative to the questions that were distributed yesterday, the questions that will, the discussion will hopefully inform the shaping of a possible substantive policy statement. What Dr. Catarino is describing, I've just loaded that document in the meeting folder. So if you want to pull that up.
Where's the meeting folder? I hate to ask that, but.
I will send you that link, Dr. Catarino.
That was Dr. Malat.
Sorry, Dr. Malat, I apologize.
See, what I am trying to do is just sort of see what we've accomplished and just move from there and, sort of summarizing the minutes in bullet points. So I thought that we might have reached a consensus that working employment covers the direct employment by a district or even working for an agency or contracting with a school district. But they would be allowed to use the term school psychologist. Are we in agreement?
I don't agree with that.
That's what I thought. Would you like to say more about that?
Sure. And again, I go back to the statutory language. It says employees, very clear. And, based on the information I've looked at and some thought about it, I can't see how working for an agency that might be headed up by an MBA, not a psychologist, would meet the criterion of employee. They're an employee of independent agency, not a school district, not a school, not a educational entity. So I find that a bit of a stretch, more than a bit of a stretch, a long stretch. But before I go any further, I just want to clarify something. Last meeting, council was not present, and I made some statements about the appropriateness of a substantive policy statement. I was wrong. I did some research on my own, and depending on a lot of factors, and I defer to Jean Galvin, as I always have. She's the expert on administrative law, not me. And what I found, and Jean already knows this, is that there's a test called the Chevron test, and it comes out of the Supreme Court in terms of policy statements and that kind of thing. And there is the opportunity, from my point of view, and it's not a legal opinion, to issue a substantive policy statement that may or may not exactly approximate the statutory language. I don't want to go too far into the woods, and Jean, stop me at any time, but I just want to say up front that I was out of my lane saying that it wasn't appropriate to use a substantive policy statement, but I defer to counsel on that issue. But back to your original question, Dr. Catarino, your original question, I have a lot of concerns, and hopefully the questions that I put together have been dispersed to the committee members. I initially sent those to Heidi and Attorney Galvin, and I think Dr. Catarino, you got a copy as well. And just for the record, I don't have a dog in this hunt. I don't have an opinion one way or the other at this point. What I'm trying to advocate for is that we do a thorough vetting of this issue, and I'll tell you why. I think, and if you look at my last...
John, I'm going to get to yours if you don't mind.
What's
can
that?
Can I have you hold on that? I just wanted to go through what I think we covered
In
the past, and then I definitely want to go through your questions.
Okay.
So the first point is, it seems like we don't have a complete consensus. See, we're looking at two different things, I think. What is being done, and then we're looking at, does it comply with the law? So I think that's where we differ. So yes, there are many agencies, and yes, people are contracting with districts, but I don't think we have a consensus there. Second one, in terms of, does the agency have to have a licensed psychologist providing supervision? You know, if we agree that the agencies are okay, the consensus at this point, I think some of us thought there should be a licensed psychologist providing supervision, and some of us did not. So I think that there's no consensus there. Okay, any comments on those points? I'm just trying to see where we're at.
Okay. Correct. I don't think we've got consensus on that. Right. Yeah, my sense is there are so many agencies, none of which do. In fact, I don't know of any that we have contracted with in the last decade that had one. So that one might be a far kind of a high bar to decide we want to comment on. I
agree, Julaine. We've never had a contract agency with licensed supervision.
I know at one point, Dr. Holtzman, who at that time was licensed at a company. So, but that was...
That's true. I'd forgotten about Wayne. Yeah.
The next point that independent educational evaluations. So we're asking who can perform these independent evaluations. So do they need to be licensed psychologists? And we're not just saying licensed clinical. They could be licensed psychologists that are school psychology trained, or certified school psychologists. I don't think we have a consensus there, or do we? Do we believe that IEE should only be done by licensed psychologists?
I don't think we agree on that either. And it's the Arizona Department of Education language does not indicate that that's the case. So.
Okay. Next one, would the performance of an IEE constitute independent practice outside of a school? Is that a private practice? And that's where the law states, that certified school psychologists really pretty much states you can't be in private practice. You can function in a school. So would an IEE, if it's be constituted as independent private practice outside of a school? I think we have no consensus on that. Correct? Any comment? All right, I think we have no consensus. Next one. Now we talked about the, I had Ms. Packman sent out the statutes, and it says in the law that you can't use terms that have psych as the root word. And so I had put that in my comments. But then we found out last time that the State Department of Education certification permits using the word psychological assessment by certified school psychologists.
And doesn't the statute say it's just by those that are either, they have to be by psychologists or those that are, it can't be used by those that are not exempt, but school psychologists are exempt. So they could use those terms, correct?
Right. So again, yes. I don't know if we have a consensus on that. Does anybody want to comment on that?
Dr. Catarino, just a point of information. I'm not on board in terms of regulating the practice of school psychology. I think it's a bad idea, but the board is empowered to regulate the use of psychological psychology, et cetera. I just want to make that clear that I think
there is a statute that says
going down the road of, you know, we need to regulate how school psychologists operate, I think is the wrong way to go, but the issue is a title violation, and where and when can a school psychologist use that term and not be in violation of the statute?
So you may have a point that they can use it within the confines of the school, but maybe not outside of the school.
Mm-hmm. So the statute does read exempt, able to use the terms appropriate for their training and setting. So it says training and setting in the statute.
So setting is in there. So that would it be implied as in the school district, they can use that term, but not outside of it, not in a private practice setting, the way I take that. So maybe we have a consensus on that.
Well, unless they're a licensed school psychologist, then they could use any of those terms.
That's different. I'm just talking about certified. Okay, so we might have a consensus there. Now, the big question is, can certified school psychologists practice independent of schools? The way I read it is the law says no. Can certified school psychologists practice under a licensed psychologist as a psychometrist? Yes, I think, because there's no rules that I have found for any longer what a psychometrist is. They used to have that when I was in grad school, but they haven't. So you can see that we have a lot of points that we don't have consensus on. This is the only one now, the use of the word psych. So now I want to, I had a scenario I want to present to you first. So if you have, and how would we deal with this? And I just want your input. So if we have a certified school psychologist that opens a private practice, provides consultation to charter or public or private schools, does IEEs, and also does evaluations for private clients, would that be appropriate first?
No.
And I think the last example that you gave about provides evaluations for private clients, that is the one that falls off the rails to me. That's okay. Private practice. The first two, providing, you know, working for a charter, a private, a public school as a certified school psychologist, whether they're asking people to do staff training or evaluations as IEEs. That's the piece where I'm not quite sure I agree with John about the employee piece. The truth is they're working within their scope of practice and training. So those first two examples, yes. The third one, they can do evaluations, but when you set out of a private office, that's private practice. That's protected to be used for licensed psychologists.
And I think we are in agreement on that, what Janine just said. We are all in agreement. Someone is doing it as part of their private practice. Even if they are highly skilled. They've done 100, 1,000 school psych evaluations in the school systems. If they're not licensed, they cannot set up a private practice. Okay. I think we're all in agreement with that.
Yeah, so we're in agreement on the third one. The IEEs, there's some question, yeah. And we're all in agreement on the first, in the first one, that they can provide consultation to the school.
I think the critical piece on an IEE is if a parent goes directly to somebody and then they're doing it kind of in their practice. It's another thing if they're doing it at the request of the school, but then, I don't know.
Well, I think if they can't do it, it can be on the school list, but if they're employed by the school, then they're not IEE.
So if I could insert the Arizona Department of Education language around an IEE, it says it's a qualified evaluator who is not employed. So to Dr. DeBacco's point, it should not be someone's employed, but that's where they could be contracted. And so that the IEE language specifically talks about contracted services.
Okay. But our statute is pretty clear in terms of the language about being employed. So there's a discrepancy in terms of the Department of Education and what the Arizona Board of Psychologists and Examiners is saying. There's got to be some reconciliation of that, because otherwise I think, it's pretty arbitrary in some ways for the Board of the Arizona Board of Psychologists and Examiners.
I spent some time.
We need an AD representative. Go ahead.
I spent some time reading again, and the whole IRS law and employee and contractor really boils down to how much taxes are taken out, who's paying the taxes, and that seems like their biggest concern between the two designations. Not so much the work that is being done, and I'm really interested in hearing Ms. Galvin's, what her thoughts are.
Yes, and Jean, would you have a comment?
It's difficult to know or interpret what the intent of the legislature was with respect to use of the word employ. Was that sort of a shorthand method to describe a school psychologist's relationship with the school or school district or charter school? Or was it more meaningful with the intent to say that they must be employed by a school district? And I don't know, what the intent of the legislature was in using that term employed. I do think that that's something that we would have to give consideration to. The more I listen to this discussion and I have concerns whether there is a consensus, and it's very hard to determine whether there is a consensus on very small bits of factual information, because I think it's hard to say, whether, a school psychologist can do X in absence of knowing other factors that are involved. And so I would caution the committee from drawing, reaching conclusions without full factual situations. And we don't want to be on record as prejudging any case. I would also like to remind you that the substantive policy statement, the more I hear about these discussions, the more I hear of these discussions, I do believe there's a little bit of reservation in memorializing, the board's position in a substantive policy statement. I think, as we all know, this is a very complex issue with a number of interested stakeholders. And based upon a statute that is less than entirely clear. And I think that that's evidenced by the fact that the board has address this issue or tried to address this issue in a roundabout way numerous times over the last several years. And I am wondering if the committee should give thought to maybe addressing all of these complexities via statutory change sometime in the future, instead of trying to guess what maybe the legislative intent was or to figure out how we can frame a substantive policy statement to interpret a statute that is not very clear? Do we need to go back to the drawing board and amend our statutes to ensure that it accurately reflects the board's position? And I would, you know, recommend or caution the board, you know, not to reach any conclusion until we have everybody at the table who has a stake in the outcome of this issue.
Yeah, this was like the last point I had. You know, should we, the statute, does the statute need to be changed? But right before that, I want to just jump to my, skip over some of the other, my last point was who regulates non-licensed certified school psychologists that, are acting in a private practice? Is that, from what I've been gathering, it doesn't seem to be the board's oversight. Is it the Department of Education?
I think, Dr. Katarina, if somebody is operating in what we believe as a private practice and using the term psychologist, we do have the authority to do a cease and desist. The psych board does. The State Board of Education probably does not get in the middle of that. They will regulate school psychologists who have done unlawful things like, you know, ethics violation. And I've been at the board meeting where teachers and other school personnel have been sanctioned and even lost their license or certification to practice. So they are regulated by the, but the issue of practice has never been an issue with the State Board of Education. But we we have done in the past and probably continue to do cease and desist. If we felt that a school psychologist is purely operating as a private practitioner and is not doing their work in a school system. And so that's how we have operated for the last, 17 years now I've been on this board. So
cease and desist, but would we, it is actually violating a law.
Yeah, that's what we do with other people, sports psychologists. I mean, you name it, we've run into people who have violated the law. We can do a fine. We've sent it to some office, Jean, that when they refuse to comply after we've told them you have to cease and desist, we've done. We do take action.
Okay.
And you can seek an injunction.
Injunction, we've done, that's what.
What have we done? I'm sorry.
You can seek an injunction.
Okay.
And if it constitutes criminal behavior, you can make a referral to the Attorney General's office or to the county attorney.
Yeah. And we've done all of the above.
We should do some kind of conduit or way to communicate to the Department of Education information on certified school psychologists if we think they are in violation of a statute. And I don't know if we have.
And we can do that too. We've done that with other boards. When we've seen a counselor, we've sent a letter, medical board, nursing board. We can continue to do that if we think this person is still in violation. Yes, that's well within our purview. So
and then Jennifer, I thought you mentioned that you knew that there were very few school psychologists that have been disciplined by the State Department of Ed, and most were for not reporting child abuse. So I don't know if that's correct.
That was Jennifer. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know the exact number of those who've been disciplined. I know that when we spoke to ADE, I don't know how many months ago it was, Kathy, probably 4 months ago. At the time, they had two or three school psychologists that were being investigated for primarily criminal activity, like failure to report child abuse, possible sexual things that they were concerned about. So that was just at that moment in time. I think there were three school psychologists that were under investigation, and there were two that were going to possibly lose their certification.
But nothing, we don't know. And that's why it would be good if we had had someone from the Department of Ed to know if this has ever been an issue where practicing beyond the scope of their certification is a subject to discipline by the State Department.
Did we reach out to ADE? Did they refuse to come?
Yes.
Oh,
that's okay. What Ms. Packerman told me.
Okay.
Okay. So, so I just wanted to point out this is sort of a summary of our minutes that there's a lot where we disagree, you know, but these are points that have been raised. So now I know that Dr. DeBacco had sent out some questions. I'd like to call on him to go through those, please.
Yeah, thanks, Linda. You know, my intent in putting those questions together was stimulate discussion. You know, I may have, you know, a secondary, tertiary position on each question, but generally, you know, I'm not here to impose my bias in terms of how the question should be answered. But I want to refer to counsel, and I agree with Attorney Galvin that this is a very complex issue. And what I'm getting at is that, you know, I think there almost has to be, well, certainly has to be more discovery. And I, my concern was that there would be a substantive policy statement going forward to the board, and that it would just be approved and adopted. And the way I was seeing this, it's much more complex and not so hidden agenda is that, you know, I would like for these questions also and others, these aren't all the questions, to be presented to the full board so there can be a complete vetting out of all of this. And I, you know, and again, it's somewhat out of my lane, but it almost demands there be a dedicated board meeting at least once to discuss this issue. I think it's too complex, and Heidi, I'm not trying to tread on your turf here or, you know, the chair's turf. It's too complex just to stick it in as an agenda item and go to a vote. I mean, that's my position, but, you know, I'm a civilian now, so you take it for what it's worth. also, I agree with Dr. Malott. I'm going to repeat something I said earlier. I'm not suggesting in any way we should regulate the practice of school psychology in the schools. I think that's a big mistake, a huge mistake. But I think we have to be proactive in terms of protecting the title. And my concern is that opening that door, you're going to have other psychologists, social psychologists, IO psychologists, neuropsychologists, that if you just go to, well, if they practice in a neural clinic, they're exempt from licensure kind of thing. And maybe I'm pushing it too far. But what I'm getting at, and I'll stop talking here for a while, is I agree it's a complex issue. I agree that we should not try to regulate the practice of school psychology, but the use of the term, and if it's not applied appropriately. And I think, Ramona, you did a good job in differentiating that. They're doing in the school, school-related, because it could be, you know, an educational unit at the state hospital. If they're doing educational stuff, maybe, that's fine. But if they're out there doing, you know, forensic work and family court, and you guys have seen that, or if they're doing other kinds of private work, I think that's a real problem.
So would you like to go through your questions, though, or any particular one you have?
Did everybody get them? Okay.
I, you know, was Linda, it meant for discussion?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to suggest which ones we should discuss, but they're there, you know, whoever wants to respond.
Well, I'd like to respond to a couple, just kind of present some. I feel like we do have stakeholders in the room. We have the president of the ASP Association here. We have representatives from the schools, and they are a very tight-knit organization. So we do have stakeholders. All stakeholders, we will never get all stakeholders. I feel like I have a lot of knowledge of the Northern Arizona stakeholders. I'm familiar with people who do exactly this work on the reservation, and that is my biggest stakeholder that I am always worried about. So I just wanted to say that. And then the are school psychologists trained to conduct a private practice? I would drop that question. Not for any other reason. I'm thinking of my combined counseling school psych program here. Believe it or not, we don't train them to conduct a private practice either. And they are going to be licensed psychologists. There is no way in our statutes or training regulations that that training is included. So I think that would be unfair to add it as a question. So I'd like that question maybe drop, because nowhere there's a clinical psychologist or a counseling or licensed doctoral level psychologist required to have that training. So I just wanted to, and And then the number one question, is there sufficient demand? This question has come up several times over the last 17 years. And I've been the only constant factor, and then maybe Jane Galvin with me. But it keeps coming up, and frankly, I'd like to have some kind of immediate resolution, because each time we get a new board member, I keep trying to explain how it works, and I'm not a permanent board member, though it looks like that, 17 years, but I'd like to have some kind of, you know, let's have some understanding, put it in writing, and, you know, because I don't know, I just, it keeps coming back over and over again. So.
Well, I mean, Dr. Bohan, for the state organization, do you have any data on, you know, the number of school psychologists and the shortages or anything like that?
We recently did a workforce survey where we did survey to get information around school psychologists in the state and vacancies and that type of thing. We're probably doing a second round with some of that as well in the coming year. We didn't, the specific questions around contracted versus employed and kind of differentiating out number of IEEs and things like that, we haven't asked those kinds of questions. We certainly have anecdotal information, and Jennifer and Julene can certainly speak to working in school districts and working with lead psychs across the state in various meetings that we do have some level of data.
So yeah, that might be in response to a point two that John asked. Maybe what would you think about adding those questions? Do you do private IEEs? Do you? If you're a head psychologist, do you allow that?
Well, I'll defer to Julene and Jennifer, but I would say that most every district at some level is asked by parents to do an IEE.
And I meant for the membership, like a certified school psychologist, asking them if they do that service. Or some way to get some data on that. That might, now that you're going to do a second round, maybe we could add some of those questions.
Sure, that, I mean, it is possible. I mean, we have just recently done this other survey, so it is possible. And I think we do know that there is a demand there. I think the also kind of being clear about what is the definition of an IEE too also needs to be clarified. Here in this question is talked about as a forensic services, and really an IEE is a second opinion for any of the categories under IDEA. And so I think really being clear on what that entails and why we're really advocating for, whether it is a licensed psychologist or a certified school psychologist, it's people that understand school systems and understand disability categories under IDEA and can really speak to the various prongs for not only eligibility for as a disability, but impact on educational performance and need for special education, and really having that clear in the kinds of reports that come back to the school districts that are then used to make determinations. But
Kathy, I agree with part of your narrative, but I don't agree that it's not potentially a forensic evaluation, because you know if there's a dispute, you go to an administrative hearing, okay? And maybe it's a stretch to call that forensic, but forensic, anytime that an administrative hearing, court gets involved, that's forensics. And again, maybe it's not a huge point, but there may be people out there for the sense of argument who do IEEs and they don't anticipate it's going to go to some kind of administrative hearing where it's going to require some forensic training. And again, that may be a very small number of cases, but I wanted to put that in there just as a point of kind of discussion and maybe take a look at that aspect.
And I do think that any of our evaluations in the school system could be a part of a dispute process and go through the same court proceedings. And so there is no expectation of school psychology evaluations for them to have training in forensic psychology.
Really?
So no.
Suggesting. So they're doing work that they're not trained to do. That's okay.
trained to do very comprehensive evaluations in schools. And when it goes to due process, they're focusing on those decisions that are related to IDEA, and they are highly trained in the legal process for IDEA and how that relates to schools. So they can, it's working within that school system decision-making, I would say. I don't know if you have more to add to that, Kathy.
They're highly trained. Where do they get that training?
Through their graduate school programming.
So in a graduate school training, a school psychology training program, there are courses in forensics.
Not forensics, but on IDEA and the law that pertains to operating within school systems.
Okay, fair enough.
So I'm going to also look at, where was this? So what do we, I mean, the impact study to include all stakeholders. I heard Ramona, but I think that a very important stakeholder is the Department of Education. And then what did you mean by impact study exactly, John? That number six, I did want to ask about that one.
Well, Dr. Catarino, and I need to get a disclaimer or get permission. Counsel, can I talk about the memo you sent out in 2015? Where you address the issue about regulating school psychology. I'm assuming I can talk about it.
That was addressed to the board, was it not? That's legal advice to the board.
Yeah, and it's titled Confidential Attorney-Client Privilege.
So you may not disclose it.
Yeah.
That was legal advice to the board, and we have members here who are not and were not members of the board at that time.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
So in terms of an impact study, what are you thinking of? How would you,
Well, you know, in terms of stakeholders, there are others, including licensed psychologists who are also school psychologists. And, you know, potential here. So we say it's okay for a certified psychologists to do the contract and do work in the schools. I don't know how many licensed psychologists that are also school psychologists like you and I, how many there are. And I certainly would like to hear from them. I mean, again, I can't judge the level of impact, but they're certainly an interested group. And no offense, but we've heard from NAU. We haven't heard from the other universities that do school psych training. Have we heard from NASP or APA?
No, and we did come up last time, maybe someone from ASP.
Yeah, I'm just.
Maybe the president or the executive.
Yeah, the only other program that is UFA. Nobody else has programs anymore. So.
Yeah, and
I can attest to that, yeah.
Yeah, and Gina has been on this committee before. She just texted me and didn't find the login to this, so that's why she's not here today. But I'm close colleagues with the U of A folks, and as we reported with NAU, those because it is they're both NASP approved programs. What Jennifer described as the trainings around IDEA and special education systems and requirements are clearly covered as required in a NASP approved program.
Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not suggesting that we should regulate the practice of school psychology. I was just raising these questions because I think they could cross over into a title violation, which the board has jurisdiction over.
So in terms of impact study, do you want to construct a survey? Is that what you're thinking? And to send to people? What do you mean by that exactly?
No, but if this goes to a stronger vetting, that certainly, you know, there'll be invitations to the Department of Education. You know, APA may want to come in with an amicus brief. Who knows what the other stakeholders, but certainly contacting, and I'm surprised that the Arizona Psychological Association opted out.
No, they did not. The Department of Education did.
Okay, did AZ?
I don't know if we asked them before.
Because I would think they've got psychologists in their group that do this kind of work. I mean, not that it should use that as a leverage, but that's another stakeholder that should be heard from.
And Kathy is also a licensed psychologist, so she's not just a certified.
Okay.
As are Jennifer and I.
And Jennifer, so and, Jennifer and Gina. All four of us are that are on this committee.
And I am too.
Yeah.
And I'm married to one for that voice.
I think count. That Heidi, maybe we could ask the president.
We need to subpoena him to testify in front of the committee. We want to hear from him. I'm kidding.
But I do think that somebody from the Arizona Psychological Association, a leader there, or Lisa Marin, or both, should be on this committee as well.
Yeah, I think I'm thinking the president or the executive board, because they're elected by the members. So, okay.
Yes, Madam Chair, if you would, we can get together after the meeting and make sure that I'm reaching out to the right individuals. And I, Jean, correct me if I'm wrong, but as the chair, it's your prerogative to determine who is on the committee.
Okay. So is there any other comments on that anyone would like to make? I think we've covered John's. Is there anybody else that has something they would like to bring up for this meeting? And if not, then we can go to topics for upcoming meetings. And I heard, Kathy, you might have a topic for a future meeting.
Yes, we as ASC were not aware that there was a 24-hour window for submitting new documents. So we did submit something to Heidi this morning that we'd like entered into the agenda for next time.
Can you tell me generally what it's about?
Can I do that, or?
Yes, Dr. Bohan, you are able to make a request that a specific item be next on the agenda. So in doing so, you can tell us what you want and what this material consists of.
Okay. So the material, we have a legislative liaison who's a lawyer who we also consulted with for our association, and looked at the language in the statutes around, especially the discussion around employment versus contracted, juxtaposing that with the Arizona Department of Education statute language, and would like to enter in a proposal for what that might look like as statute changes that would address the employment and the contracted level of service for these individuals.
It just covers that aspect, not any of the other things.
Yeah, there's some, yes.
Okay.
But you believe, as drafted, it addresses a number of other issues because of the specificity of the drafting.
Right.
Is my understanding. And yes. I have not seen this material, and I apologize. May I ask who your counsel is?
Susie Cannata.
Okay. I think that we can approve that would be a good thing to look at next week, right? Next time.
And maybe Ms. Galvin can see it also before the meeting, you know.
I think she has it, right?
Yeah.
Or Heidi has it, or somebody. I haven't seen it.
We just got it this morning.
Yeah.
Dr. Catarino?
Yes, John.
Might it not be appropriate to get clarification from the IRS in terms of employee and consultant? I don't know how you do
like
that.
Would you like to contact?
No. Good luck with that.
No.
You don't return any calls.
I don't talk to the IRS.
Well, what about a tax attorney?
I only get love letters from them. I don't want to talk to them.
What about a tax attorney or a CPA, you know, something, or a CPA?
It may be that a statutory change could be made that would take us out of that issue of what constitutes an employee or being employed by. I think it would be helpful to look at what was proposed yesterday or today, and we may be able to extricate ourselves from that discussion overall by definitions that we have drafted that would address everyone's concerns.
Since we're doing a lot of go ahead, Dr. DeVos.
Counsel, I like your explication about the intent of the legislature. I had that thought as well. We don't know what the intent was in formulating this exemption, and we may never find out. But things change, and it appears like things have changed, and maybe there needs to be a change in terms of the statute.
So let me also, you mentioned stakeholders, and you mentioned APA. Should we contact Division 16?
Yes.
And then also, what about the American Board of Professional School Psychology, ABP.
Sure.
Okay, we can look into that because after Heidi and I will talk about
it. If we're inviting APA, should we invite NASP as well, a representative?
Yes. Yes.
This is a policy decision, but would it be more productive before we invite those kinds of representatives to first kind of decide what path we're going to get on? If we bring APA and NASP and all those individuals would probably have a lot to contribute, but I get the feeling that the task force isn't yet committed to what direction we're going to take. And maybe once we have that decision made and we know what direction we want to take, then invite, and maybe better to invite those kinds of stakeholders once we make a recommendation to the board, and then board then decides what direction they want to take, because we can make a recommendation and decide we're going to go, you know, take the left fork in the road, and we go to the board and they say, no, we're going to take the right. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to invite all those other stakeholders here, you know, prematurely till we have a roadmap of where we're going.
So at this point, I think we should just maybe ask the Department of Education again.
So one concern I have, and I'm going to state my concern, is that, you know, the practice of school psychology as contractors to schools has been going on at least as long as I've lived in Northern Arizona, which is over 30 years. We've wrestled with this issue. And if the psych board takes a stance that is so restrictive and it says no, we will be here, we will have people coming down on us. So I think we need to redefine and say, because we have schools in dire need of school psychology services across. On the reservation, we have almost zero
psychologists. Maybe an exemption for the reservation too.
It's not an exemption, but I think it goes back to that word employee that we are all wrestling with. And we have to provide services to schools. It is imperative in our state that the children are served. And we have to be looking and seeing who our true stakeholder is. And those are kids who need these services. And I think as a board, we need to be thinking of solutions so we can make sure that the kids are getting services instead of thinking of more and more barriers and making it so complicated. And that's kind of my personal feeling. I just wanted to raise that because, you know, we're taking so long around this word of employee, and can we think of a solution that's going to help kids? I mean, so.
Well, I think Kathy, I've got Dr. Bohan's statements, we might be able to get around that employee statements.
Right. And I agree with Ramona too, as far as let's find ways to be proactive. If it's professional development or information and other kinds of things that we need to get to our various members and various practitioners in the field to help them to do practice, because it really is about these children and these families in districts all over the state.
And when we met with ADE last week, Dr. Bohan and I, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, and we had brought up this issue, they made a comment that the legislature is not interested in narrowing or limiting scope at this juncture. They're really focused on expanding so that people get the services that they need in all areas of education. But most of their language is expanding roles and not narrowing scope.
That's
worse.
Here.
Okay, so for my edification, should I talk with Heidi about inviting, let's limit, I take Jean's point, just the Department of Education or Department of Education and ASPA for the next meeting?
Dr. Katarina, I think there's got to be an open dialogue with the Department of Education. They're the regulatory
agency. Critical.
You know, the Board of Examiners should not be in the business of regulating school psychology. We control the title. Mm-hmm. And I think we've talked about the other stuff. So,
yes, yeah, so I think we need to invite them, though.
Yeah.
And I think, and I just am asking now because we have representative of ASP. that I should contact, we should contact the president of ASPA. And that's, and those are the only stakeholders we want to add now at this point. Because, okay, because I think...
To council's point, it may be premature to involve with these other agencies. And in no delicate way to put this, they're going to advocate for their position, and it may be accurate, may not be, who knows. But I think before we do that...
So just the Department of Ed?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're the number one stakeholder. You know, you can make an argument the kids and the families are, but in terms of regulating the practice of school psychology, you know, they're the big kahuna, I guess.
So let's see, they turned us down, I guess, Heidi. But Jennifer, do you have a contact? Or if you take some lead on that, maybe we'd get a better response?
I'm happy to do that.
Because maybe they would come because they
know. I think part of the tricky part of who to invite is what it boils down to, because they have different roles, and I'm not sure there's one person that would feel like they could speak to all the issues that are coming up in this committee's discussion. But maybe they can choose to bring a couple of people that feel like, because there's a certification department and they certify all different areas, then we have people that are in special education that know more about school psychology practice. There's just different departments. So we can reach out and see who perhaps they think is best to represent ADE.
And also somebody that would handle complaints, I think, who did, you know. So, okay. If you don't mind, Heidi, could maybe you work with Dr. Ostrom and see who best to, how to handle that? Because I think we tried formally, they didn't respond, so.
Anything else you want to mention today? Oh, Julie, yes. Well, I think my sense is that ADE may be reticent to wander into the private practice versus not private practice question that is this board's kind of bailiwick. Just as you are, we are all uncomfortable wandering into theirs. I'm not sure we'll get that from them. Certainly great to check. But in our conversation a year ago, or nearly a year ago now, ADE was just, here's what we're most worried about. And that's providing student services to kids in a safe manner. And so that's where their focus was. So I don't know that we're going to get them to wander in parts of the state where we are completely short of school psychologists, and we have only people consulting and going from small district to small district, that I don't know that they'll ever be in a position to want to say we need to regulate that more specifically.
Maybe they would tell us about the IEEs, their view on that.
You know, one caution, you know, this demand argument, it has some legitimacy. But other non-licensed mental health people can make the same argument. I think it's broader than that. It's the quality of service, the responsivity, and all of that. But just saying that demand doesn't, for me, equate to lowering standards. And I'm not saying that you're doing that by changing the language. But I don't feel comfortable in making it kind of... just unilateral. It's the demand is there, therefore we have to change everything to meet the demand. And it's broader than that. You guys know that.
Sure. And thanks for that remark. I also believe, though, for those of us who have been consumers of IEEs, we can certainly open up another discussion, though I don't know that that's where we're headed, but to limit who can do IEEs with regard to any semblance of understanding about schools and the law and IDEA, and doing an IEE that is in any way illustrative for a family or a district. And we have contracted with licensed psychologists who have given us drivel. And so in some ways, I think if we're limiting on one end, I think there are times I feel like, gosh, if we're going to just have individuals, if we are just going to have licensed, which is a terrible idea, I believe, it cannot just be somebody who is licensed in psychology, but not a specialist in school psychology. So
you can file a complaint on that licensed psychologist if they're not at the standard of care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if they're functioning, if they're working out of their area of expertise. But also I think that's that, you know, the supply and demand, the districts may say, you know, you don't meet what we need and not hire them. You know, if they don't provide appropriate services. If they say they're working
as I'm on the NASP website. And they actually talk about each state, and it says the SEA credential school psychologist allows for practice in school settings. To practice outside of schools, one must apply to the Arizona Board of Psych Examiner. And again, they talk about outside of schools.
Right.
Anyway.
Okay, anything else for today? Because I know that some members have to leave at noon, so.
Just a word. I want to thank Heidi for her excellent work. And I don't know what they're paying you, Heidi, but they should pay you more.
Thank you, Dr. DeBacco. I also accept currency in the form of compliments. So thank you.
Can't spend those at the casino.
I think we should come up with new awards. She just received an award for national award. So, okay, then I think we can, do I hear someone moving for adjournment today? Nobody?
So what is our next plan of action?
I think to hear the information that Kathy provided, you know, and then maybe I think our goal is to determine if we need a substantive policy change, if we need to go to a statute change. I think that's where we're at.
Can I just make one more point, Dr. Katarina? I think, it's going back to your point, Dr. DeBacco, wondering about all the other professions that are out there that could say we have a shortage of counselors and But the one thing that is different for school psychologists, they actually called out in our statutes. That's the one group that is called out. There's no other group called out. You know, exemptions from licensure, school psychologists. And so the word, again, we go back that we're hung up on is employed. Yeah. You know. So it goes back to that one word. You know, so.
That's why I'm very interested to see what the attorney from ASP had to say.
And Dr. Katarina, from ASP perspective, I mean, we did just do a workforce survey. It really didn't have the types of questions you're talking about here. So to move forward with that, I'm not quite sure exactly what direction we've been given with.
Well, okay. When are you sending out the next?
We just sent out this other one.
I heard that we have another one coming up.
But not immediately, no.
Oh, okay.
We have numbers, though, on the shortages, Kathy, that we could give the committee in terms of vacancies, because usually it's those vacancies that are filled by contract school psychologists that might give the committee some idea.
Yeah. So we can give you some data, but as far as doing another survey immediately, that's really not in the plan. It would be in the spring at the very earliest.
No, that's fine. It was just when I heard that this one coming up, I thought maybe we could piggyback on that. But that's fine. I'd like to see what you collected. That would be very interesting. Oh, you know, John's point, by the way, just before I end, is that this point of will open up doors to open up doors to private practice or things like that. I think that's something else that we didn't cover as much. But okay, so I'd like to, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second? You all
want to
stay. Okay. Okay. So the meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.